Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
My wedding song. Welcome back. Andy and Randy got Tribble and Abe in Sports Radio 929 The Game. Let this percolate for a second. Wait for the drums. Alan Winans on the mound for the Braves tonight as they try to make it two in a row over the Mets. 7:20 first pitch. Weather looks kind of promising. We'll wait and see. Hawks hosting Charlotte tonight. I will be there. Will we see Trey Young? He has been cleared to practice. Might see him tonight as the Hawks get ready for the play-in. Have a few more games left before that happens, and that's going to be Chicago, isn't it, in the play-in round there?
We'll find out slightly if there's a chance that that game could be here.
Yeah.
Pretty much they'd have to go 0-3. You'd have to go. I mean, there are ways to get there. But
enough of that. Sports is all about the NFL. It's all about football. Let's go on, Otto. All right. Free agency. Falcons do have some needs. We need a pass rusher. We need a cornerback. And we need a safety. There's a lot of safeties out there, isn't there?
Some corners as well. Young, talented guys that maybe – you know what I've been surprised most by is the free agent cornerback market. The prices are not crazy.
They're not crazy.
You don't
Maybe
have much
it's
money.
A bit saturated too, right?
Yeah,
there's a lot of them out there,
and they're super talented. And that's part of the question too. You just take all these talented corners and move them to safety at the end of the career. That's happening a lot too.
I still wonder what's going to happen on draft day. I just have no idea what the Falcons are going to do. All the mocks means nothing to me. Terry Fontenot famously always goes for best player available, that sort of route. I don't know.
I have a couple of ideas that I think are set and a couple of ideas that aren't. I don't think drafting at 8 is set.
No, I do not either.
I don't think taking Dallas Turner is set. I do think you're still taking the best pass rusher.
I like what you said yesterday, and it gave me a little food for thought. Talking about Dallas Turner, if he was that coveted and generational, wouldn't he go before number 8? And you don't see him mocked anywhere before number 8, do you?
Part of it does come down to need
a
little bit. But
certainly.
Arizona could use a pass rusher, right? J.J. Watt's out of there.
Right.
He's done. If he was viewed the way that Myles Garrett was viewed, and Myles Garrett went 1 overall, he would go there.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of people believing that the New England Patriots are not going to take quarterback. Maybe they trade out of it. If he was believed to be that dude.
The Patriots at 3.
Three. If he was believed to be that dude, the Patriots would take him at 3.
Maybe
what does
so.
It say that he's not?
Yeah. But player evaluation in the NFL is not the most exact science. We've learned that time and time and time again. Jaguars. Josh Allen got paid 5 years, $188 million guaranteed. I wish we could have a Josh Allen up here in the Falcons uniform.
Drafting pass rushers sometimes pays off,
is
what you're telling
me. It does pay off,
This
paid off. He got to his second contract, right? How about this? This is fascinating because we've talked about over the years, there's been an arms race. A lot of money thrown into R&D for helmets. Now, the NFL is introducing more position-specific helmet options for 2024. I think the quarterbacks have two options, and other players have more than two options from what I've seen.
That was last year. There were two options. There's more options this year.
There's more options for the quarterback this year,
and for offensive and defensive linemen. The weak spot, if you will, because the quarterback helmet is to protect the back of your head from hitting the ground.
And I guess you have to have the infrastructure in there for communications as well.
There's other protections as well, but the emphasis on protection of the quarterback helmet is in the back of the head. It's the opposite for offensive and defensive linemen. The emphasis on protection is in the forehead, the front, because as you push towards the person in front of you, you clash heads. And so the next step now is the receivers, the defensive backs, and the running backs.
Right.
Where is the need, the emphasis for protection? What part of the helmet? And they're saying they're going to do that research throughout the course this year and hope to have position helmets for those guys next year. But you've got a lot of options now to help boost whatever you can.
A lot of companies are pouring a lot of money into trying to figure out what the perfect helmet. Funny thing is, Shutt, you remember the old Shutt helmets?
Sure.
3 years ago, they apparently came out with the one that was like the gold standard. Now that helmet is banned. That shows you, I guess, the innovation involved.
Yeah,
so that helmet, you can't wear that helmet anymore.
Vicious, V-I-C-I, whatever that company is. And then I think Riddell out of the shadows back in front.
What about bike? Where are the bike helmets? Are they still concentrating on their coaching shorts? I had a pair of those. I had the navy blue bike coaching shorts with my little skinny legs in them back in the day. The chicks dug it. The Cowboys, what direction are they going in? This is crazy. Dak Prescott, they haven't offered him an extension. He's going to be a free agent after next year. They're not going to be able to pay CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, and Micah Parsons. So
it's definitely an odd man out situation.
I think it might be Dak.
Well, so that's the question is – who is most easily either replaced?
Yeah. Micah Parsons, maybe not necessarily so. CeeDee Lamb, I would think so.
So that's the thing for me. Well, it starts here. In a best-case scenario, you can find a quarterback that's not Dak, right? Because not everyone believes that Dak is all that good to begin with, right? The problem is...
Is he... Second tier, he's second tier.
Sure. But that's the problem is, if you can't win with him, the big thing, ultimately, what are we doing, right? That's part of it. But the other aspect of it is, we've seen around the league how franchises can fall into quarterback purgatory.
Oh.
And if you move on from Dak, and you make a mistake, where are the Cowboys now?
Hmm. Well, the Cowboys...
I think it's a lot easier to develop or find a receiver than it is the pass rusher, which we know we have issues with here in Atlanta, or a quarterback.
And you're also,
I would be moving on from CeeDee Lamb if I were Jerry Jones.
Yep. And the thing is, being the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, that's a whole different animal than the quarterback for most other teams, too. Just for whatever reason, even though they haven't won anything in 30 years, that's still a thing. You know?
Their backups are Cooper Rush and Trey Lance.
Cooper Rush played well, but...
Fine, but you're not...
In a small sample size. I'm not saying
no
you should
be the starter.
There's
no world in which you move on from Dak and hand the job to either of those guys.
No. But what do we know? What do we know about Trey Lance? We know nothing of Trey Lance.
I know he's not starting for the Cowboys. He can't beat out Cooper Rush. He's definitely not starting. And so it's a situation where you're probably not going to be bad enough, and this is what the Falcons are in, right?
Yeah.
Falcons at 8 weren't even bad enough to get a quarterback that they desired. The Cowboys, where are they going to be drafting next year? They're not going to be in position to get a quarterback.
Probably not. They'll be just good enough to keep them out of that situation, which is frustrating. Now, I love this dude. Destroying, he's a popular YouTube kicker. And he finally got a UFL gig, but he fractured his neck trying to make a tackle this past weekend. I love this guy. He went viral. He was just... routinely making 70-yard kicks. Granted, he wasn't in pads, didn't have a rush going, but you saw what a giant leg he had. And this dude's a brother, too. You don't have many brother kickers. And he was very fun to watch, great personality. I didn't see this. I just heard about this. That kind of makes me sad because I follow him and I like him.
So here's what happened. His whole story is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
He gave up kicking at college because he was starting to monetize his YouTube.
That's exactly right.
And this was a little bit before this NIL stuff and however it works. Yeah. So he chose to follow the
path. Yeah, he's making so much money. I don't have time for football. I'm making – look at all these commas in this check I have.
And so he gave up a potential path to being a pro kicker.
Yep.
He gets popular through all of the stuff he's done with tricks, kicks, and then obviously the one-on-ones most recently has been a huge boost to his YouTube viewership. One-on-ones, receiver versus DB battles,
right?
O-line versus D-line battles, top recruit, all that stuff. And so he gets a call from The Rock, says, you want an opportunity to kick again? He goes and kicks for the Brahmas and tried to make a play. Tried to make a play and fractured his neck. So we'll see. Hopefully not the end for Destroying, because I've been a big fan of his YouTube stuff for a while.
I enjoy him a lot, certainly. Hey, we're going to have Grant McCauley coming up. By the way, that'll be brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate, by the way. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. And I can't wait to get into this with Grant McCauley talking about the arm injuries.
Yeah, we're going to dive into that. Real quick, one more NFL story that happened after I printed out the rundown, Rob. Wanted to make sure you saw this. The Eagles, week one game in Brazil.
Yeah.
They now have an opponent. It was announced earlier today. Go Pack Go.
Oh, really?
Heading down week one. So it's going to be the Packers and Eagles. First ever NFL game in Latin America. It's
That's not during Carnival, is it? When is Carnival?
Probably not then, but
you know,
it's going to be streamed exclusively on Peacock.
Oh, goody. So, well,
I think it's the Friday, so it'll be the second game of the NFL season.
February 17th is Carnival, so we don't have to worry about the players getting in that mix down there, that Caligula mix down there.
Until
that
they orgy, hold the Super Bowl in
orgy,
Sao Paulo.
Orgy of sin.
Have you ever been?
Brazil, I have not.
Nope. Well, I meant like specifically Carnival, but it's Brazil in general.
I've not
no.
been to Brazil in general, nope.
What's the furthest south you've been?
Costa
Don't
Rica.
Say Key West. Okay, Costa
Rica.
Rica,
yeah. All right. Nicaragua around in there.
Yeah.
That's about it, yeah. I just had a brain fart. I'm thinking about Grant McCauley. I'm thinking about the arm thing. You know what the Red Sox are doing that's kind of innovative? A lot of teams are kind of doing this. They're de-emphasizing the fastball. They're not throwing it as much. Because they see what the metrics say. You're not making as hard contact with breaking pitches and sliders and off-speed stuff. Because fastballs, that's what gets hit the furthest and the hardest. So going to be interesting to talk about that with Grant McCauley.
It sounds a little troubling to do that with the porches in left and right at Fenway.
You
don't need a lot of power provided to pop one.
That is true. See, that's where
shallow fly balls
are going on there. You can go down a wormhole with that. But it's also about making good contact, too. You know, the ball will break away from the sweet spot of the
bat.
Better
boost your fielders.
Boost your fielders. Absolutely. All right, going to come back. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley, who is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Grant McCauley coming up next. Going to talk a lot of baseball, getting that wormhole. Tribble and Abe in for Andy and Randy, Sports Radio, 1990 Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Special teams, special plays, special players. That's what we are here at Sports Radio 1990 Game. Tribble and Abe in for Andy Randy. We got Bo Johnson back there behind the glass as well. And we also now have one of my all-time favorite people, Grant McCauley. Of course, Grant McCauley brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home from Mark Spain Real Estate, markspain.com. Grant, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon, whatever. It depends. If somebody's listening to the Central Time Zone, they're still in the morning.
All right. 166 players started the season on the DL. 132 were pitchers. Everybody's concerned about the Well, the outbreak of it's a pandemic is what it is, of Tommy John surgeries. I don't think a whole lot can be done unless you address it when they're young players. Don't play 100 games a year. It's due to overuse. I mean, the arm is it's like a high-performance sports car. You know, you redline enough, it's eventually going to break down. I mean, what can possibly be done?
Yeah, I don't know that there's one answer to that, and I don't know because we're not talking about one type of injury. Now, is it prevalent to see elbow problems?
Yes.
Absolutely, and I think everybody recognizes that that's an issue. And I would look at it more so than overuse or even, you know, at the youth level. Yeah, you can set expectations and all of that, but I think that the sport and we as a society are fascinated with what can these guys do that is the most that they can possibly give. I mean, that's what this fascination with velocity has created. I mean, watching it, it's exciting. I mean, it's fun to watch somebody go out there and throw 100 miles an hour or close to it, you know, and break off nasty 91 mile an hour sliders. But I mean, throwing, as you mentioned, is not a natural motion for the arm to begin with. So ramping it up to, you know, turning the volume up to 11, it's going to take a toll eventually. But I don't know that there's anything that you can do to predict exactly when these guys are going to go through it. But I think we can all recognize that it is a problem. How do you fix it, though? I think is one of the most difficult questions that we're going to continue to ask, because I'm not sure that there's one way to get it done.
Grant, I'm a huge fan of sports conspiracy theories, and not that I'm necessarily trying to start one here, but maybe I am. Spencer Strider went down to see Dr. Meister there in Arlington, Texas, but the Braves are not providing an update until the weekend. Why might the delay be?
Well, I think that the most obvious thing is that they could just announce that he's had whatever surgical procedure that he's going to have to correct this elbow issue. And as somebody who's been around baseball for a long time, and I know, you know, both of you have seen more than your fair share of injuries and covering these stories, when you have UCL damage, so the ulnar collateral ligament in the elbow, typically there's only one thing that can be done. And as I've talked to pitchers over the years about it, if it's even like a 0.03% tear of the UCL, a lot of guys, they just go ahead and get it done, because once it's torn, like, it's not going to untear and heal itself naturally and not have a recurrence. So that typically is the outcome of it. If it's a sprain, that by medical definition, Abe, as I'm sure you know, is a form of a tear. So how exactly, to what extent, what options are there for Spencer Strider? I don't know what they're exploring, but it seems to me that the most likely outcome of all of this and waiting to update it into the weekend would be that the decision was made, he'll undergo the surgery, and then begin that long return. But none of that has been confirmed yet. That is just my read on the situation.
I guess maybe this could be a problem that ultimately just takes care of itself due to the evolution of a game. You know, some things that aren't in style are now in style, and vice versa. I'm seeing, like, the Red Sox and several teams are starting to de-emphasize the fastball a little bit, because if you see enough guys throwing 100, hitters catch up to it. You know, you're used to seeing it. Well, the Red Sox and I think maybe the Dodgers, maybe Padres, they're de-emphasizing the fastball a little bit, throwing maybe a few more breaking balls, though throwing a slider is not necessarily great on your elbow either.
Right.
Could that be a way to kind of mitigate it?
I don't know. I mean, ultimately, I think, you know, it would take time to really study the results of that kind of thing. But I will say this about velocity. I mean, you know, yeah, hitters are going to time it up, you know, and eventually. I mean, I remember Eddie Matthews had that great quote of, eventually, you know, I can time a jet plane if I see it enough. But I don't know that that necessarily is true based on the numbers of hitters against high velocity versus the more manageable fastballs that are in that, you know, 90-ish mile an hour range, that they are going to be able to time up more. But yeah, I think that, you know, the stress on the elbow from breaking balls and throwing the slider in particular has been something people have been concerned about over the years. I'm not really of the opinion that Spencer Strider adding a curveball contributed to this. But, you know, who knows, ultimately? Yeah. I mean, we're going to hear from him eventually on what exactly it could have been, how he felt it. You know, did he change anything? You know, it didn't look like it to me. And this is a guy who's already been through Tommy John surgery and felt like he had really rebuilt his entire mechanics and the whole platform on which he is going to perform to be more efficient and to not have to go through that again. And here he is in that kind of gray area where it seems like the most likely outcome is a very lengthy recovery from a surgery he knows all too well.
Grant McCauley joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta Braves insider, host of From the Diamond, which you can hear right here on 92.9 The Game. Grant, this would have been Spencer Strider's spot in the rotation. It instead today goes to Alan Winans. Is there any surprise? He's the first guy to get the shot there in the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, it's timing, really. And honestly, asking Brian Snitker about the move and it being Winans over the weekend, he essentially said, look, we're going to try to get through each day and move forward and get into the next day in regards to, like, what other moves could we see. I think the most obvious longer-term replacement would be Bryce Elder. He's the guy with the most experience that's in AAA right now. And I think that we'll see him sooner than later. But they brought Alan Winans up just in case they needed somebody to cover some innings in the bullpen, with the idea, I think, that he could make this start against the Mets, and then they could reassess their literal and figurative options as they go forward. But I still think that it's a Bryce Elder situation ultimately moving forward as the bigger fix for this rotation. But as I talked about, on some of the other shows and things that I've done in the last, three or four days, you don't replace a Spencer Strider. So they're going to have to figure out a way to just fill that spot and then assess as they go along, and maybe this is finally the year that the Braves go out there and look at getting a starting pitcher at the deadline of some kind of impact variety, and maybe that's where they'll end up eventually, but they're going to explore some of their minor league depth first.
I've liked what I've seen out of Chris Sale. We've seen the nasty pitches. I mean, he had a swing and a miss and it still hit the guy. Your thoughts on him? I just want him to stay healthy. That's been his big issue.
That's really it. I mean, and when we talked about spring training, I know you guys heard it from me, and it's not really – anything that was, I think, a big surprise about Braves spring training, there weren't all these storylines. Ronaldo Lopez winning the fifth starter spot, I think that was one. Seeing how left field was coming together was another. But otherwise, I just kept saying, if this team stays healthy, they're going to be where they want to be this year. And now they're dealing with a loss of, their most, I think, they're the front of their rotation anyway. Maybe not their most important pitcher, but if not, he's 1B. Everybody's going to be important. And now, to go back to your point and your question, Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez become even more important to the Braves' success. And the health of Chris Sale in particular is something that he very much wants to have intact for an entire season. I think that he's able to build off of his success last year in staying healthy for the most part, making those 20 starts for the first time in, 4 or 5 years, then having an entire healthy offseason to ramp himself up. I think the Braves are excited about what he could offer. And the first couple of starts from Ronaldo Lopez have also looked great. So both of those guys, along with Max Fried and Charlie Morton, the holdovers, are going to be counted on just a little bit more, even though, again, there's no replacing Spencer Strider.
Max Fried kind of struggled out the gate, but after giving up 6 runs, Abel's bringing up the fact he retired, 9 of the next 10 hitters. Nothing to see here, right? No big deal.
I don't think so. I mean, it's unfortunate. And that start in Philly and that bad strike call or that missed strike call, they could have gotten him out of that with a little bit of an opportunity to go ahead and reset and get back to the dugout. Well, he was out there for 43 pitches and they had to pull him. Now, he just kind of got ambushed by a very good Diamondbacks team who hit him hard a couple of times, but also they're just flat out good. Like, they're going to be a club that's going to be in that playoff picture. They've already shown that they can make it all the way to the World Series last year, so they're looking for more. That's a good team. And Max, to his credit, was able to kind of settle in and give the Braves at least some innings after that 6-run first inning. But he's going to have better first innings, I have to believe, based on the track record. He just needs to get that all figured out, have a nice, easy one, and get himself going deep into a game so he can start feeling maybe a little bit more like himself.
Grant McCauley joining us to chat Braves and other things MLB. I don't even know how to say this, Grant. I mean, we were, a lot of us, a day, a game, an at-bat away from being done with Marcel Ozuna. his turnaround since May of last year has been simply almost unbelievable, and it's continued to start this season. What are you seeing that's just working for him really over the course of the last 130 games?
Yeah, I mean, he's just gotten back to being, the best version of himself at the plate, and that might sound cliche or whatnot, but I don't really know how else to describe it. Last year was obviously a career year for him, 40 home runs, 100 runs knocked in. Obviously, the power has carried on over to this year. He's leading the club with 5, nearly had a 6th one the other night, which would have changed the outcome of that opener against the New York Mets. But, he hits the ball hard consistently, and his swing seems to be pretty much locked in. And, he's one of those guys that, we talk about him a fair amount. But when you look at the Atlanta Braves lineup, everybody is going to fixate on Ronald Acuna Jr. and then Matt Olson and Austin Riley and Ozzie Albies. And it's just kind of on down the list. So there's Marcel Ozuna, the only DH in baseball with 40-plus homers and 100 ribs last year. And he could do it again this year. And if he does, we're going to have a different conversation, which is not, oh, Marcell Ozuna almost played himself off the team, but it's going to be, how can the Braves not pick up his $16 million option for next year? Because he's a critical part of the middle of that lineup.
Was there one seminal moment last year where he turned everything around after the month of May? Was there a certain moment, or what was it specifically?
Yeah, he went down to Miami and hit off a slider machine that was broken. And because of the way that the machine was reacting, it just had him looking a little bit differently at his timing. And that's something that he talked about. And I was like, wait, you hit off a broken pitching machine and that's what fixed it? I'd never heard anything like it, but you can't argue with the results. Maybe that just had him just change a little bit of how he was seeing and, you know, going, getting everything started, and maybe made him a little bit more patient. He started hitting bombs off Sandy Alcantara, which last time I checked is not the easiest thing in the sport to do. And the confidence came back too. And that's a huge part, you know, being confident at the plate, seeing those results. Nobody wants to walk up to the plate and look at a 50-foot screen that says you're batting 085. And Marcell Ozuna is one
that's
of those
crazy.
People that probably wasn't enjoying that either.
The broken slider machine kind of expanded his vision subconsciously, I guess. That's crazy,
yeah,
dude.
I think it's, again, a story I'd never really heard anything quite like that before. Just go hit off a broken pitching machine that's not, you know, reacting properly, and it will fix your reactions to major league pitching. That's just unbelievable.
Dad's out there, turn your kid into a catcher and get yourself a broken slider machine. Grant, thank you, brother.
You got it. Take care, guys.
That's crazy. I
never heard that story. I had not heard that part of the story.
I wonder what the break of that slider looked like. Was it extra? Or what? Weird. That's fascinating. All right, what's coming up? Got a little back page action with Bo. What we got?
More history made this weekend at WrestleMania. No, more numbers keep to just pile on in and pile on in, man. It's staggering.
This weekend alone is its own history textbook for wrestling.
It 100% is. Like, you thought the viewership for the women's Final Four and the men's Final Four was big? Yeah. Oh. WrestleMania blew them out the water.
All right, that's coming up next. Andy and Randy got Tribble. We got Abe, Sports Radio, 929 The Game. It's Andy and Randy. We got Tribble. We got Abe. We got Bo. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Alan Winans on the mound for the Braves tonight. Game 3 of the 4-game series with the Mets. That's a 7:20 first pitch. Hawks, Charlotte over at State Farm. That's a 7:30 tip time. Masters, first round tomorrow, about, 8:45. Weather's looking great this weekend, by the way, for the Masters. What is it? 8 of the last 14 Masters champions have been LIV golfers, too. So it's interesting how those two worlds are now converging together as one. So,
well, that's an unfair stat. There were not the whole time because LIV wasn't around.
I know, but
kinda, I know. Eventually,
but the appeal of getting him over.
Yeah,
there,
but if they don't win the Masters, is the LIV even interested? I'm just saying it's a little screwy bookkeeping. That's all I'm saying. A little screwy bookkeeping. Now I got a problem tonight here, Rob, because it is trivia night, and so I'll be at the Dunwoody Mellow Mushroom. Hopefully putting in work, getting it done. You know what I mean? Getting that gift card.
What do you
card.
Win, house cash?
Yeah, 50 bucks for first, something like that.
That's fine.
Something like that. They're not great keepers of the TV over there.
Oh, no.
And between having to ask them to switch to the Braves game.
Yeah. And you don't want to bother them if they're in the weeds, especially. Can you turn the channel when they're trying to make some money on tips? They don't care about you.
Do they want the tip?
From other people that don't really care.
Now, I don't believe that I should have to ask any place that has TVs. If you have TVs, it's for sports. You're
luckily,
not putting up reruns.
Universal joint where I go, they know what games we want to
I
see and
I don't
on.
Think I should have to ask, but I will. Probably multiple times.
Are you customer emeritus? Or are you always in there?
Yeah, every
then,
Wednesday.
Then you
yeah.
should have that courtesy yeah. then.
I also
I'm
tell them
with you.
Exactly what channel it's on. Because Braves, they have DirecTV there. Braves are going to be 646, Hawks are going to be 649, or flip-flop, whatever.
There you go.
So I come prepared, but I have to ask every time. Normally it's just one game. Now I'm going to have to ask one on this TV, one on that TV. It's, I don't know, it might be a problem.
Struggle is real, my friend. Let's get to the back page.
So what off the top of y'all's heads, what were the viewership numbers for the NCAA basketball tournament? I know the Iowa LSU was 14 million. Then I think the championship beat that at like
18.7, and the men's was 14 and change.
Yeah. So you take all three of those numbers.
Oh.
And then you double them.
Wow.
And you'll be right at around what the Sunday viewership was for WrestleMania. Keep in mind, this is a two-night event. Sunday alone, in a 24-hour time span, 67 million views for night two of WrestleMania that saw Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes.
What do you mean in a 24-hour time span?
Well, because it's available on Peacock if you missed it.
So how many? So does that number take out any multiple viewers?
I don't think you're going to sit there and watch three and a half
hours. I think there's a lot more people than...
Not within 24 hours.
You don't think people rewatched part of it?
No.
I do.
The first 24 hours, I think you probably watched it and you're exhausted from the whole freaking show. You may have a couple days later.
You watch a little bit
67
back.
67 million views, dude. That's freaking crazy.
In spite of the hair splitting, that's still sick. That's absurd. So then what was the best before that? I'm sorry.
What was that?
What was the best before that?
I can find that out for you, but it's up. They've always
it's
had
always done well.
Otherwise,
like it wouldn't exist.
But this was a record for a WrestleMania.
It's also a lot more people can get it in terms of Peacock as opposed to when it was like a truly a pay per view.
Well, but it's
way
been,
before WWE
it
Network.
It was WWE and, Network before.
But I'm saying that, even before
been,
that.
Well, that's been many years.
Yeah, but I think more people have
had
Peacock
to pay
naturally
bucks for a pay per view.
Yeah, people have Peacock naturally more than WWE Network.
Yeah, but you still got to pay for the network.
I'm waiting for UFC to hook me up with like the pay per views. If because you could sign up for
go
UFC,
onto a streaming network. And
well, you
stop
could sign up
pay-per-views?
For UFC Fight Pass, but you still don't get the pay per views.
Oh, so what do you get?
All this other
ESPN Plus
jiu-jitsu
content?
Competitions.
Okay.
Probably Power Slap, I hope.
So the following night at Wells Fargo Center, that's the arena where the 76ers play, also in Philadelphia, they sold so many tickets and packed so many people in this place that they didn't even use the Jumbotron. They used a smaller little TV and a little entryway that had some LED boards on it and stuff. They put over 20,000 people into Wells Fargo Arena for Monday Night Raw, which is the Raw after WrestleMania is always a big one, and it was.
It's a good idea Do they always do that, piggyback up an event at, like, the basketball arena after a big stadium event?
Yeah, typically the Raw after WrestleMania, something happens, or someone makes a return or a debut, which there were a couple debuts on Monday night, but, I mean, nobody, you know, not going to get into all that. But, look, the numbers behind this thing are absolutely staggering. It's going to be a fun little future here for WWE. Speaking of history, and you heard it in Caleb's sports update, Jackson Holliday, MLB's number one prospect, has been called up by the Baltimore Orioles. He should play today after playing 10 games with the Norfolk Tides. Now, everybody was kind of wondering why he didn't make the big league team.
I was too when I saw that.
Now, he has not yet played enough to give them the whole control of another season thing.
That's
what we were thinking that it was, but they're calling him up before that, so good for them.
Mm.
Jackson Holliday in 10 games with the Norfolk Tides hits a paltry 333 with 2 home runs, 9 RBIs, 5 doubles, 12 walks, 8 strikeouts.
Ain't no seeing eye singles either. He was belting stuff like 110, 114.
He's good.
Not to mention getting the 12 walks too, disciplined eye as well with the power.
One would imagine that Paul Skeens with the Pittsburgh Pirates, he will be next. It's just a question of
unless
when.
He tears
the Pirates
his arm.
Are off to a pretty good start.
Unless he shreds his elbow first, throwing 104.
Don't throw that on that poor kid.
Just a coincidence here, Bo. MLB TV, free game of the day, Baltimore Orioles, Boston Red Sox.
Purely coincidence.
I'm sure
that's
that,
been on the calendar
I'm
for
sure that decision was made previously.
Speaking of history and diamond sports, are y'all familiar with who Jill I hate mispronouncing names, but I feel like I'm going to do this here. Albiati.
Jill Albiati.
I'm Albiati. We're going to go with Albiati.
Is she a looker?
No? I don't think I do.
It surprises me that Abe's never heard of this.
I thought it was going to be like some rogue athlete that I am familiar
Jill
with.
Jill Albiati on Sunday made history by becoming the first female to compete in a Division II baseball and softball game in the same day. All right, so check this out.
What school?
Cal State San Marcos, Division II. Now, this was previously done by a Division III athlete playing in a baseball game. Cal State San Marcos baseball team, they're down 4 pitchers. 3 of them were starters. They were about to hold open tryouts, which maybe, Rob, you could have gone over there and done that. When the softball coach said, hey, we got this girl that plays on the – she plays on the U.S. national baseball team. She's a third baseman with a cannon. So she plays a softball game where there is a walk-off grand slam earlier in the morning, 4-3 win for Cal State. Then she changes uniforms, goes over, gets in the dugout of the baseball team, gets called in the ninth inning, faces seven batters. She did allow two runs, three hits, one walk in the inning. Then she changes back, goes plays the second game of a doubleheader for the softball team, goes 2-for-6 in a 4-2 victory.
Well, good for her. That's kind of cool.
That's freaking crazy. And then she goes back, and I guess to the baseball.
And a third baseman. Did she get an at bat in the baseball game?
No. She
I
didn't.
Wonder if pitchers at college the pitchers don't hit anymore.
They didn't when I was there either.
They didn't. Oh, so
well, Division Two.
It's becoming a kind of an epidemic where pitchers are not hitting anymore. I know some junior college pitchers that are just going all in on pitching, which could be part of the reason why we have elbows.
You never know. There's a thousand different reasons.
So y'all mentioned the Masters earlier, as the Masters does start tomorrow. And whether anybody gave a crap about the whole LIV versus PGA thing, well, here's Scott Van Pelt on that.
It seems that we're headed towards some conglomerate of sorts. They just have to figure out the money. So I just don't think LIV versus PGA Tour exists. When Rory, who was the Jon Snow drawing his sword ready to fight all comers, was like, we probably ought to figure this out. Like, your most staunch advocate for the fight laid down his sword. So I just don't think it's even a topic of conversation. And mostly, people don't give a shit. I just don't think they give a shit. All they want is to see the best players play in the same event, and they get that starting Thursday. So
I kind of tend to agree. Who cares?
I'll tell you where he's wrong. It's not about Rory McIlroy laying down his sword. That's a misread of this whole situation. The thing about LIV versus PGA is no one cares enough about the regular tournaments that they miss these golfers, and they still get these golfers in the majors. If it had been a situation where the LIV golfers were not allowed in the majors, you would have a real LIV versus PGA discussion.
Well, that's what the original situation was.
They thought it would be. They thought it might be, yeah. But with them allowed to play in the majors, it's irrelevant. Because there are plenty of golf fans who tune in every single week and actively watch every tournament. There are a lot more people who are just watching the Masters, the PGA Championship, the British Open, U.S. Open.
When LIV has those bottomless pockets, too, with all those the arms money and the petrol dollars.
Oil money runs deep. So I'll tell you what people do tune into golf to watch, and that's Tiger Woods. Tiger is supposed to play on Thursday. We have no idea how long he will end up staying in. Here's Tiger Woods talking about how much pain he's in.
I hurt every day.
Yeah.
So, yes. I ache every day, and I prefer it warm and humid and hot. And I know we're getting some thunderstorms, so at least it'll be hot.
Breaking news, Masters moved to June after Tiger Woods says he prefers it warm and hot.
Tiger proofed the Masters again. I don't guess that'd be Tiger proofing. That'd be now we're going
aiding.
Backwards.
Yeah. He needs help. I don't know, man. Like, just give up the game if you're hurting and aching every day. Like,
it's Tiger, though. Can't do that. I'll tune in. If Tiger's going to play Thursday, I'll watch when I can. If he doesn't play Friday, I'm not going to watch.
You know, would you watch this weekend, though?
Yeah, if Tiger plays, I'll watch this weekend. If Tiger doesn't play, I'll watch Sunday.
Yeah. Tune in about 4 o'clock Sunday to get the final four or five holes, right? All right. What is the most important story of the day? What is it? We'll tell you next, top of the hour. Andy and Randy, Tribble. We got Abe. We got Bo. Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.